Good morning on ABC Radio Perth and WA. Look, I imagine that there will be some corrections on a range of fronts after life returns to normal post-coronavirus, whenever that may be. My next guest, who's based in Capel in the southwest of the state, is someone who, when it comes to the disability sector, is hoping there will be significant opportunities for change for the better. Ben Aldridge is the director of 30 Foot Drop. Now, Ben himself survived a 10-metre drop and has lived to tell the tale and also lived to get up at this hour of the morning, which I greatly appreciate. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Barry. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure. Thank you for getting up. Look, first up, this is obviously very personal for you. Can you tell us about 30 Foot Drop?
Yeah, look, 30 Foot Drop was... it's basically a business that I never, ever thought that I would end up starting. You know, when I broke my neck, I was serving in the military over East, and suddenly I found myself with a disability. And like over 80% of us, my disability was acquired. I wasn't born with it. It's something that happened. And over time, I started to get quite frustrated with the ignorance in society around disability, but had this sudden light bulb that at the age of 22, when I broke my neck, I knew nothing about disability at all. How can I get mad at society if nobody's actually out there trying to educate them? And that's how 30 Foot Drop was born. It's based around the idea that, you know, ignorance is not necessarily a bad thing. There's nothing malicious about it. You know, and I'm out there trying to rectify that in a way that is open, honest, and safe. There's no such thing as a stupid question around me. You can ask me any question. I will not get offended.
Look, I went last year to a conference that involved finance, and one of the speakers there had, I think, a son who had a disability. And the speaker made the point very clear that there's something like 25% or one in five Australians have got some form of disability, yet we have very, very relatively few of people with a disability who are in the workforce. How significant, in your eyes, is that shift that needs to occur to get more people from who have a disability into the workforce?
Yeah, I mean, massively so. Employment for people with disability is often really hard because there are all these preconceived ideas about what we can and can't do. You know, there seems to be this assumption that, for example, people with disability are only capable of doing your very basic jobs, which is completely not true. We're like everybody in society. We all have our own talents. We all have our own qualifications. We all have our own stories, what we're good at. You know, so businesses are actually missing out on some really amazing employees. And especially when you take into consideration, you know, it takes up to 10 times more job applications, for example, before we can actually land an interview, let alone a job. So suddenly people with disability are much more loyal and much more willing to actually go the extra mile to keep our jobs, because our jobs are a privilege, not a right. And often the barriers that are put into the place are barriers that don't actually exist, but because of the preconceived ideas that are there, people just assume that that barrier is going to stop it completely without even giving us a chance in the first place.
So it sounds like on all sides we need to get rid of assumptions here. That seems to be one of the themes that you've highlighted. Look, my guest on ABC Radio Perth and WA is Ben Aldridge, who is a disability awareness expert. He's the director of 30 Foot Drop, and he is talking to us this morning about what he hopes will happen in terms of corrections that might appear in the community or occur in the community as a result of a bit of reflection after this coronavirus period. Just to come to that, Ben, if I could, the disability sector, how has that been affected by the disruption that we've seen as a result of this COVID-19?
Look, I'd never assume to talk on behalf of everybody with a disability because everybody's experience is unique. But I have noticed some trends. And the disability community, we've always been fairly well connected via the internet because it is our way of finding people that we normally wouldn't be able to otherwise because we tend to end up being isolated for various reasons that I'll get into in a second. But that connection means that I've been able to spot some trends. And one of the overall trends, the best way to describe our the overall sort of feeling in the community is it's exasperatingly positive, some of the changes that have been occurring, you know, because suddenly we're actually getting a lot of the flexibility and support that for decades we've been asking for. You know, these changes and the support and the flexibility, they're essential, but we've been told repeatedly that they're not workable, and suddenly these are being implemented.
They are. They're not only workable, they are absolutely fundamental.
Exactly, and suddenly it's because everybody's, and I'm going to use this word, so suddenly everybody's disabled because we are unable to go into work. We are unable to go out and socialise like we normally do. We are unable to do a lot of the things that we normally do. And unfortunately, when you have a disability, because of the way society and infrastructure is set up, we do find ourselves unable or disabled from being able to actually access society. So, I mean, I've got some examples here of things that have been implemented that, you know, people may not actually realise have been massive for us. Do you want me to go through those?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I imagine just being able to work from home is a very significant one.
Yeah, very much. So, you know, the being able to work remotely is something that a lot of people with disability have been asking for years because, okay, I'll use myself as an example. It takes me, from the time that I first start getting up, it takes me 2 hours to get ready in the morning. Now, I have people normally, at the moment I don't because I'm in self-isolation for my health reasons. But normally I have somebody come in and it takes me 2 hours from the time that I first start getting up to I am just about ready to go out the door. So that means that if I have a business meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning in, say, Busselton, which is a half-hour drive away, I'm getting up at least 2.5 hours before the meeting to be able to get there.
Yeah.
So being able to work remotely means that that extra half hour is usable. And we've been looking for this for years, and so there's many different reasons that people want to work remotely. For some people, it may be that they are immunocompromised, so staying home is a lot safer for them. They're a lot less likely to catch a virus which is getting around at work. You know, so a common cold for somebody who is immunocompromised is a big deal. You know, so suddenly these small changes like being able to work remotely are huge. Other things, I mean, a big one that I've noticed is many cultural experiences are suddenly available as a virtual experience, like as a digital experience. So these are things like historical sites that are normally inaccessible to somebody like myself. Okay, so suddenly I can actually do a virtual tour. All of these things are being implemented so that people can still do them from home. You know, so instead of turning up to these places, so I've got a family, I've got kids, instead of having to go to these places and basically sit outside and wait for my family to finish up in there because it is completely inaccessible, we can actually do a virtual tour online and still be able to take part in this experience of learning with the children, which is amazing.
My guest this morning is Ben Aldridge, who is a disability awareness advocate. He also is the director of 30 Foot Drop, having survived a 10-metre drop himself. This is really the potential opening of a lot of doors here for people with a disability when it comes to a whole range of things, including the workforce, which I keep coming back to. I think that's a very important factor when it comes to wanting people to lead, you know, a life that is rewarding, as possible. You mentioned their isolation. So this sort of sense of isolation for people with a disability, could you tell us a bit more about that and what you've noticed?
Yeah, so it how we've viewed the rest of the community and their reactions to having to self-isolate as a result of this virus has been one of amusement, because we often find ourselves having to isolate for various reasons. So for myself, after my accident, I went through a period of quite poor mental health. And as part of that, I isolated myself from the world. And I spent a lot of time inside. And during that time, I found ways of getting myself healthy again. So in some ways, people with disability have found this period easier because we're used to this. We're used to not being able to go out and do everything that the rest of society can, because not everything is accessible. And even if it is accessible, it is often not inclusive. We're not actually made to feel welcome. We're not made to feel like we're actually wanted to be there. You know, we get ignored, or people automatically assume that, you know, because I'm in a wheelchair, that I'm either hard of hearing or that I may have a intellectual processing issue, and so people talk loudly and slowly to me because I'm in a wheelchair. You know, these things, they make us feel very isolated from society. So suddenly when the rest of society is going through the same thing, it becomes quite an interesting lens. And that sort of comes back to the idea that, you know, we are exasperatingly positive about what's happening. Because suddenly people are being forced to things from our point of view, to have an experience of it.
Change of perspective. Look, let's hope so. Let's hope that some eyes are opened and changes are made here, Ben, as a result. And as you say, assumptions are dropped. Thank you very much for getting up so early and being with us this morning. And good luck. Thank you for being with us.
No, my absolute pleasure. Look, if anybody's interested, 30-foot dropper on all the social media platforms. And we're currently running webinars aimed at business owners around how you as a business can come out of this particular lockdown period with up to 20% more customers.
All right. We look forward to that. Thanks, Ben. Ben Aldridge there giving us his take on living with a disability and also what life might well mean for people with a disability after the lifting of coronavirus. Good morning. It is 12 to 5.
Barry Nichols.
On ABC Radio Perth and WA and on the ABC Listen app.
Peter, thanks for your text. Says, Barry, Australia, unlike the US, Canada and UK, still allows employers to ask job applicants about health / disability information before making a job offer. Yeah, I think we've got a fair way to go. As I mentioned, that conference I went to last year, there was a speaker who highlighted the disparity between the number of people with a disability in this country and the number of people with a disability who were in the workforce. And it was, you know, a very, you know, small percent. And so there's a real sense that there are people who are able to be very productive in the workforce who are just not getting that opportunity.